My name's Alison, I'm one of the stewards here, and our service this morning is a local arrangement brought to you, as they said on Sesame Street, by various members of the congregation, and I'd like to thank those who've put so much effort into preparing today's service. We do hope you'll stay for tea and coffee and refreshment conversation after the service in the hall through the doors. Before we begin, I'd like to just make a couple of announcements, which I may repeat later, depending on how many more people have arrived by the time we get to the end of the service, but I might forget. So I do want to take this opportunity today to let you know that we're going to be holding a celebratory birthday lunch for Miriam on Sunday, the 10th of May. It's her 40th birthday. And she would love you to join together in a lunch, which will be a sort of afternoon tea at lunchtime, which means that we may be looking for help with making sandwiches and cakes. And we will also be inviting you to contribute towards a collection. So please do bear that in mind. It is a united service on that Sunday for Christian Aid Week, with our congregational friends from the URC and New Road Baptist, who we'll be delighted to invite for lunch, but maybe hope they don't all stay. So that's a note for your diary. We obviously can't mention that when Miriam is around. Our call to worship. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. And let's continue that theme of joyful celebration in our first hymn. It's number 314 in Singing the Faith, This Joyful Eastertide.
Thank you.
do sit down. We're all welcome in this place, whether we've been worshipping here for years or whether this is our first time, whether we're returning or staying with family or friends or indeed joining us on Zoom. And as a community of Christians, we are free and privileged to be able to join together now in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this joyful Eastertide. As we consider our Bible readings today and what they may say for us in our own lives, and as we explore the themes of faith, doubt, certainty, and the senses, we ask that you speak to us and continue to guide our thinking in the week ahead. In the name of your risen Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now I'm going to hand over to Mel.
Well, I hope everyone had a good Easter. There's not much sign of it left in our house. All the eggs are gone. All the hot cross buns are gone. If you came in our house, you'd think it didn't happen. You blink and you miss it. Now, we're today in our Bible passage going to hear about Thomas. And Thomas missed a bit of the Easter story. He got the cross and the terrible bit, and he missed out on the resurrection. So when his friends started telling him that they'd seen Jesus, he didn't think he could quite believe it. He'd missed that bit, and why had they seen it and he hadn't seen it? And anyway, so it was all a bit hard for him. He wanted some proof. Now we're going to play a game. You might want to come up here. You don't have to. You probably do. Come up here, because we are going to play a game. You're not allowed to touch and you are not allowed to look until I say you can. And some things you might not want to touch ever. Anyway, so we are going to play a game of Can You Believe It? I have some things in these bags and I'm going to tell you what I have. And then I would like you, based on your knowledge of me, who thinks you know me? We've met before, haven't we? That's right, you know who I am. Based on my knowledge of me and what I'm like, I want you to decide whether you think I'm being truthful about what is in the bag or whether I'm not. Okay, right, so here we go. Let's see if I can get these in the right order. That doesn't feel right, that doesn't feel right. Oh, this feels right. Right, first of all, wooden spoon. Do you think that I would be exciting enough to have put a wooden spoon in this bag?
No.
You think I would? Shall we see? What do you think? Yes? Yes? So have I got a wooden spoon? Yes, I have! Give yourselves a round of applause. Well done. You know me so well. I might sing at one point if I keep repeating that line. Let's have a look. What's the next one? Okay, not that one. Let's go for this one. Okay, in this bag, I have an entire library. I have an entire library in this bag.
No, you only have a book.
I have a book. Oh, what do we think? Who here thinks I have an entire library in this bag? Jo thinks I do. Jo knows me really well. Frida knows me well. Do you think? You think you're beginning to believe that I might have? Okay, should we have a look? I have the Bible. Do you know?
It has 1,000 stories in it.
It has 1,000 stories. It has 66 books, I think, in it. I should have looked that up a bit better before. Anyway, it has lots of books in it. So it is a book of many books. So it is like a library. Okay. Right, here we come. Okay, next one. Let's have a look. Not that one. Save that one till last. Oh, I hope I haven't squashed this one. Let's have a look. Because this one has got something alive in it. I haven't squashed it. No, it's still alive. Is there anyone here scared of spiders? Is anyone scared of spiders? So I've got something alive in here that might be a bit spidery. Who thinks I brought a spider with me? You think I have? You think I have? Who's brave enough to have a look? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you? Come on, come and have a look.
Oh my God.
Shall I bring it? I'll bring it out. It's slightly, it's not crushing. I have got a spider plant. There we go, spider plant. So I wasn't really fibbing. Okay, last one. Are you ready? This is the one I have with the story, slightly doubtful about this one. And I believe that these words may never have been spoken in this church. So this is a historic moment. In here I have elephant poo.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah.
You think I do?
Yeah.
You think I've got compost? Who here puts elephant poo in their compost? You think I'm? Who here thinks I might have a bit of elephant poo in this bag? You think so? You think so? Shall I show you? This is why I thought people might not want to touch. Let's have a look. Although actually, they might want to touch. This is a little sculpture of a dung beetle with some authentic elephant poo. There we go. I don't know. Oh, well. Anyway, let's get back to the story, because I think you have seen that I am not entirely reliable, and I've been a little bit sneaky. Oh, lost the sound. I've been a little bit sneaky there, haven't I? But Jesus isn't unreliable. And when Thomas saw Jesus, he remembered exactly who Jesus was and is, and who he was to Thomas and who he is to us, and that is our Lord and our God. So let's pray together. Loving God, help us to always remember who you are, so that our faith can be strong and resilient. And may we always feel confident to share the joy of your living love with those we meet. Amen. Well done, we can go.
Thank you so much, Mel, and thank you also for the children and all for the adults for joining in. Keeping on that theme, we're going to sing our next hymn. It's number 492, Christ Be My Leader, By Night and By Day. Now Jan's going to bring us our first Bible reading.
After the reading.
The first letter of Peter, chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Thanks be to God.
My apologies, I forgot to let the children go. So we say together, the Lord be with you. I think Jan and I would agree that even if the church had been completely silent during that reading, it's quite difficult to follow. So you might want to read it again when you get home. Not least because the first sentence goes on forever. But she read it beautifully, and I'm sorry that I didn't remember to let the children go out first. Of course, we know that Jesus promised Peter that he would become a leader among the apostles to guide the new Christian community in Jerusalem through its earliest years. But eventually, Peter was called to carry the good news of Jesus beyond the borders of Israel. And decades into his work within the Roman world, he wrote this letter that we've just heard from. And it was a circular letter that was sent to multiple church communities in the Roman province of Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. Peter learned that these mostly non-Jewish Christians were being persecuted and facing hostility and harassment from their Greek and Roman neighbours. And Peter was writing to them to encourage them in their suffering. So I guess the big idea is that Jesus is our hope in the midst of our suffering. And suffering is an opportunity to show others the surprising generosity and love of Jesus, which is fueled by the hope of his return. But it never really fully explains that suffering to us. So within the great Easter story and within the burgeoning Christian community, there is still space for doubt and fear and anger, and the possibility that any of us at any time might mess up. And so one of the things we do week on week is we consider those things in our own lives that we might want to say sorry for, the things we've messed up, and we do that in our prayers of confession. Today I thought we'd do that in a slightly different way by sharing together in a hymn. It's number 421, but you might want to use the words, they'll all be on the screen, and I'm going to suggest the congregation remain seated. You may not know this hymn, and so what I suggest is, unless you really do know it or you feel led to join in, why not just try and join in the words in yellow? You'll be singing, Lord, have mercy, and then towards the end of the verse, the chorus goes, Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. And that is our prayer. Lord, have mercy. Show us love in the face of us messing up. So the choir is going to lead us now in Empty, Broken, Here I Stand. You might want to imagine that this first verse is perhaps initially Thomas speaking, but also make it your own.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, now we're going to have our second Bible reading, and David's going to read for us. This will be followed by Kate reading a poem by Malcolm Guite.
From the Gospel of John, chapter 20, beginning to read at verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And so the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name.
To St. Thomas the Apostle, "We do not know. How can we know the way? Courageous master of the awkward question, you spoke the words the others dared not say and cut through their evasion and abstraction. Oh, doubting Thomas, father of my faith, you put your finger on the nub of things we cannot love, some disembodied wraith. But flesh and blood must be our King of Kings. Your teaching is to touch, embrace, anoint, feel after him, and find him in the flesh. Because he loved your awkward counterpoint, the word has heard and granted you your wish. Oh, place my hands with yours. Help me divine the wounded God, whose wounds are healing mine.
We could spend a whole service, I think, just unpacking that poem, but maybe that could be your homework. You can look it up online. Malcolm Gait is a poet, Anglican priest, scholar of Tolkien and other writers in that genre. And he has an interesting website where he explains some of his thinking. Thank you, Kate, for bringing that to us. And thank you, David, also for reading the passage from John so beautifully for us. I guess Western artistic depictions of the scene of Thomas in that room might be have been in our minds when we heard or read that passage. By the great masters with amazing light and shade, they're often called the incredulity of Thomas, with him sort of wiggling his finger towards Jesus' body. And I think there's a sense in our Western tradition that it was a surprising thing that Thomas didn't immediately believe the experience of his friends in the upper room, you know, doubting Thomas, duh. Which really, if you think about it, well, why would he? Can't really say very much about Malcolm Gait's poem. I'd need to think about it for months, but it seems to me that he calls for an embodied faith. Even though we're reminded in today's readings that blessed are those who believe and have not yet seen, we experience our faith through our senses as well as in our hearts and minds. And so that's one of the reasons we gather regularly as Christians, to support each other, to help each other grow in faith, to do things together and to be together. And in that light, I think it would be great if we could now sing one of Charles Wesley's wonderful hymns. It's number 661 in Singing the Faith, "Give Me the Faith Which Can Remove and Sink the Mountain to a Plain."
Give me the faith which can remove and sink the mountain to a plain.
Well, we're now going to hear a monologue that's been written by Claire Matthews for this morning's service, but she's going to introduce it for us before Chris reads the monologue.
I've always been intrigued by the information in John's Gospel that Thomas was a twin. Nearly every time John mentions him, he adds that he was also called Didymus, which is the Greek word for twin. And in fact, the name Thomas means twin in Aramaic too. So was this a nickname? Or was it his only name? Was there an older twin who'd been given a proper name, and Thomas, as the younger, was just Twinny, the also-ran? And who was this twin? Where was he when all this story was unfolding? There's no suggestion that he was also one of the original group of disciples. Had he died early in life? Or did he disapprove of Jesus and made a point of keeping well away from all the strange things that were going on? Or was the twin a sister? Was she perhaps one of the women who formed Jesus' support group and helped with the practicalities of looking after all those wandering men? There's so much else about Thomas's backstory that it would be fascinating to know. What was his job before he joined Jesus? Legend has it that, like Jesus, he was a carpenter. So maybe he was a fellow craftsman from Nazareth. Maybe he and Jesus had bonded over discussions of the best designs for yokes. He was later adopted by the church as the patron saint of architects and builders, with a set square as his official symbol, which fits with his desire to get the meaning of things properly straight in his mind. And what happened to him in the end? In the last chapter of John's Gospel, he's mentioned as one of the small group of disciples who had breakfast with Jesus by the lake. And in the first chapter of Acts, he's there again with all the others, waiting together before Pentecost. Then he simply disappears from the record. But a strong body of legend maintains that he took the Christian gospel all the way to India. The Catholic cathedral in Chennai bears his name, San Tome. And there's still an ethnic community in Kerala called the St. Thomas Christians, who trace their origins all the way back to his missionary work. For all the unanswered questions, what we do have in John's Gospel, most wonderfully, are Thomas's actual words. Unlike the other Gospels, where he's simply a name in the list of apostles, here he's given a speaking role. And at three key points in the story, it's his voice that breaks in. So here he is now, in his own words, Thomas, according to Thomas.
If I am remembered, and I don't expect to be remembered, people are more likely to remember my twin, who is altogether more memorable than me. But if I am remembered, I should like it to be for this, that I was the first to dare to say, I'll die for you, Jesus. It was that time when we'd just got back to the safety of Galilee, and a message came that Jesus' friend Lazarus, who lived down south near Jerusalem with all its dangers, that Lazarus was at death's door. The others stood around looking nervous, urging caution. Better safe than sorry, they said. But I took one look at his face and knew he was going anyway. Come on, guys, I said. Let's go with him. And if it comes to it, let's die with him. And it was because we went that we were witnesses to that fantastical, thrilling, terrifying scene. That moment of paralysis in time. The dead man walking. The blank and bandaged face unwrapped to sun and air. He never would tell me the detail of how he'd done it, though I asked him over and over. But he'd shown us in clear sight the one thing we most needed to see, that he was Lord not just of living, but of dying too. And I should like to be remembered for this, as the one who dared challenge Jesus to explain himself. It was in that final week, when so much time was spent listening to him talk, and the talking got more and more cryptic. You know where I am going and how to get there, he said. And James and John had that annoying, dreamy glaze on their faces. And all the others were nodding, trying to look intelligent, though I knew they didn't understand what he was on about any more than I did. And I was the only one who pushed back. We don't know where you're going, Jesus, because you haven't told us. So how can we possibly know how to get there? He wouldn't tell us the detail, of course. No, right turn here and straight on up the hill. But he told us the one thing we most needed to hear. I am the way. And I should like to be remembered for this, as the one who dared to demand proof. It was all tied up with the appalling, crashing disappointment of realizing that I'd missed him, that he'd shown himself to the others, but not to me. And all because I was the one who dared to leave that locked room of cowering men. And now they were all so cock-a-hoop. In the bitterness of that moment, I was not prepared to accept the second-hand certainty of other people. Instead, I blurted out all my doubt and rage. I won't believe it until I see him for myself and touch the marks of the nails and feel the wound in his side. He came again. Came specially for me. Looked at me with that unique look. I could never tell whether he was gently teasing or deadly serious. Perhaps both at once. He stretched out his hands and said, Here you are, Thomas. Feel for yourself. But I didn't need to, of course. The detail didn't matter anymore. I already knew. Knew that I was looking at the hands not just of Jesus, yes, alive again, but at the hands of God. And I became the first who dared to say it out loud, that declaration which could have got me stoned for blasphemy, but was the one thing that I most needed to say. My Lord and my God. So if I am remembered, not that I expect to be remembered, and despite all my failings as a follower of Jesus, I should like to be remembered as daring Thomas.
Thank you so much. Our anthem will be familiar to many of you. It's from Amazing Love. And it combines the words of the hymn we've sung already by Charles Wesley and the final words of his brother, John.
Oh, For our intercessions this morning, there is a response. When I say, Risen Christ, would you please respond? Breathe your spirit of peace. Risen Christ, breathe your spirit of peace. Let us pray. Living Lord, when we are locked behind doors of fear, doubt, and hesitation, come among us. Breathe upon your church that we may move from skepticism to adoration and act as courageous witnesses of your resurrection. Risen Christ, breathe your spirit of peace. Living Lord, we pray for our world fractured by violence and conflict, where it often feels as though hope has died and trust is shattered. Breathe your spirit of peace, bringing reconciliation, healing, and the tangible presence of your love. Risen Christ, breathe your spirit of peace. Living Lord, we lift up all who struggle to believe, those who need to touch your wounds to feel your reality. Meet them in their questions, their doubt, and turn it into a door to deeper faith, assuring them that we are not alone. Risen Christ, breathe your spirit of peace. Living Lord, you bear the scars of the world's pain. We pray for all who suffer, who are sick, who feel abandoned, or who are grieving. Bring them the comfort of your resurrection, and remind them that you are alive and with them. Risen Christ, breathe your spirit of peace. Living Lord, gather us in our doubt and in our faith. As we celebrate your victory, help us to live as your resurrected body, carrying your light into our daily lives and sharing your joy. Risen Christ, breathe your spirit of peace. Gracious God, you have given us the promise of new life through your Son. Receive these prayers, whether they come from a place of faith, discernment, doubt, or daring, or perhaps a combination of all of these at the same time. No matter where we are in our journey with you, bring us all into the fullness of your love through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you now and forever. Amen. And as Jesus taught his disciples, we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well, we're coming towards the end of our service now. I'd just like to remind you that you'd be very welcome to join us for tea and coffee after the service. And to also remind you that I mentioned that on the 10th of May there will be a lunch to celebrate Miriam's birthday, so I do hope that as many people will be able to stay as possible. There will be a collection and some information about catering for that event as the weeks go forward. During our final hymn, we're going to take up our offertory. Bowls, rather than baskets, will be passed around today. Do want to emphasise that there is no charge in coming to worship, but we do have an expensive building to maintain and activities to support. So we'd be very grateful for any contribution you're able to make, either in the bowl or at the electronic payment. But if you haven't come prepared, or if indeed, as many people do, you make contributions in other ways, please just pass the bowls along. During our final hymn, which is Singing the Faith, number 350, I cannot tell why he whom angels worship should set his love upon us now or then.
Thank you.
can't thank you enough for all that you have given us. But we thank you for what we have, what we can share for the life of this church, and all we can do to bring your faith into this world. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.